What up, bumpkins? It's Tuesday, May the 3rd, 2022, and we have a emasculating, offensive, but very appreciative show for you today. It's National Teacher Appreciation Day, so I'm going to talk about the teachers that I appreciated. Also, I'm giving money away. I got more residual checks for y'all. Call in for a chance to win one. Plus, singer, songwriter, comedian, Cletus T. Judd is going to be zooming in as well. In Best Trends, Bill Murray offended a lady on the set of a movie. Rest in peace, Naomi Judd as well. Larry the Cable Guy is going to pop in. And in Small Town News, a man whose penis fell off just had a new one attached after growing it on his arm for about 6 years. Wow, it's going to be a great show. Let's get it going. What do you say? Hit it, Alan.
Just a country boy, and he's making it good. He was Jaws underdog, dressed in beaver drawers, living next to the wood. He liked to eat the sushi, but he don't even fish. Not so much a country boy, it's more like he's country-ish. Moved out of Hickory and headed for Southern Cal. Wound up TV and film, making popsicle proud. Now this country boy is back with his family. Got himself a podcast, he knows it'll last, cause he's in Hickory.
That's right. I am from Hickory. I'm happy about it. I hope you're happy, no matter where you are. I'm in a great mood because we're live right now, baby, on Facebook and YouTube. And I've got two interns over here checking your comments. I got Elliot the intern and intern Isaiah, who forgot to hit the applause button when we started the show. Now's a good time. There we go. Now remember, I'm going to need you to hit that coming in and out of segments.
Okay.
Can you do this?
Yes, sir.
All right.
It's been a while.
That's why we have interns. Look, they're checking your comments, so leave a comment. I'll ask you a question. Who is your favorite teacher and why? Leave it in the comment section. If it's interesting or funny, maybe we'll get to it. Actually, it might be more funny. Give me your least favorite. Anyway, leave it in the comment section. I'm going to read some comments from last week. That's how you know we're checking your comments and we're doing this. But last week, I asked everybody, have you ever dropped your phone in the toilet? Some of you answered it. Some of you didn't. Tina Stiles Smith, she said, yes, I have dropped my phone in the toilet with talk to my mom. She probably meant to say while talking to my mom. Yeah, that is a bummer. Did you get it out? Did it work? So many questions. Have you done that before? Did you ever drop your phone in the toilet? This is Sebastian, by the way.
Yes.
I believe it with you.
Hey, I would rather somebody stab me with a knife than for me to lose my phone.
You lose a lot of things.
I do, but I'm not going to lose my phone.
The phone you always have. Let's read another one, the Alan Jackson. We've got Ryan Price. He said, dropped my $400 Samsung in the toilet, helping my 80-year-old grandfather get out of the toilet. Get off of the toilet. Yeah. Okay. He said, he wrote, get of the toilet. I just flushed, then got the stick grabber and tossed it directly into the trash. Wow. Yeah, $400 Samsung in the toilet. That's, Ryan, God bless you for helping your 80-year-old dad on the toilet, though. That is rough. If I had a lot of money, I'd send you a new phone. But, you know, we're begging for people to subscribe and share and all that stuff. Let's read another one. Michael Evan Sullivan, he said, I dropped my phone in a port-a-john on a job site in Morganton, West Virginia. Luckily, I was the first person to use the fresh port-a-john, but still had to ask the foreman for rubber gloves, gave him and the crew a good laugh. Phone still worked for 2 days. Oh, wow. Why did it go bad 2 days later?
It's number two.
Yeah. I wonder if it had some sort of weird enzyme in there that got in there. It was like a virus. It just deactivated 2 days later. I don't know. That's weird. Yeah, but good for you that it was a new port-a-john. Samantha Dawn Kingston she wrote, "Isn't that the lady from AGT? We had Vicky Barbalak on last week." Yes, Vicky Barbalak was on America's Got Talent. I think she went pretty far in the show. So, yeah, that was her. And she's got a new podcast called Trailer Park Diaries. Check it out. And we got another comment here. Mark Anthony, he said, "Yo, senior late show Saturday night. Was ready to go Mikey on that loud-ass jack wagon you had to kick out. Great show." What does that mean, go Mikey?
Hmm.
Have you ever heard go Mikey?
Did you have a heckler?
Yeah. Oh, you were – oh, yeah.
I wasn't at the show.
Wasn't a heckler. It's more of just a loud guy. He was coked up, fidgety, moving around. He was sitting on the front, had his feet propped up on another chair and sunglasses on. And he was like, whatever I would say, he would be like, I have a bit about singing Prince in my mirror or whatever. Yep. And I say, I look like Little Orphan Annie, like a horny Orphan Annie. Or I said, no, Tom Cruise from Risky Business, black sock, whatever. He's like, oh, Tom Cruise had white socks. They weren't black. They were white socks. I'm like, you're going to hang on every fucking word, dude. It's going to be a long night. And so we had to go back and forth a little bit. And eventually I know, like, he's just going to do that the whole show. So I said, he's got to go. Kicked him out. It was great. And Mark Anthony had my back. Appreciate you, Mark Anthony. Sorry I said the F word, Mom. All right, let's move on. What else we got? Good. We have new iTunes reviews. That's a good way you can help the podcast if you got no money. I mean, one, if you do have money, be a supporter. Go to our Patreon page. If you have no money, write a nice review on iTunes or Apple Podcast. I'll read it on the show, or I'll have one of my interns read it on the show, and then we'll give you a toot of the old air horn, give you a shout-out. So, Isaiah, do we have a new – don't read that
one. Yeah, I'm not reading that one. That's for next week.
Yeah, Alan, I don't know if you heard. This is a last-minute curveball from freaking Elliot over here.
Yeah, no, I did not get
– we're going to save this one for freaking another Elliot. Time because there's a script. So let's read this other one that I didn't know about.
So we have another 5-star review by Carolina Flip. And this person said, "This is a great podcast. I just started listening a couple weeks ago, and now I'm binge listening to all of them. Great job, John and the guys."
All right.
All right. What's little his name?
Carolina Flip.
Let's give him a little air horn.
Oh, yeah. That is so loud. All right. Thank you, Carolina Flip. Now, this is the part of the show, and thank you for hitting the applause button. This is the part of the show where I would do the share stare, but I'm not doing the share stare unless we get to 1,000 stars.
You keep raising it because you don't want to put the wig on it.
I don't want to do it. There are certain people who think it's funny. There are certain people who think it's demeaning and stupid.
I don't know those people. You're the person.
My mom don't like it.
You know, mom don't like it.
But basically, if we get to 1,000 stars, I put a wig on my head and I sing a share song reminding you to hit the share button. So I'll do it if we get to 1,000 stars at the end of the show.
I thought you were going to say Sharon Stone for a second.
Sharon Stone.
You don't need to do that.
I'll uncross my legs. Yeah. I'm not wearing up panties right now. Let's plug some tour dates real quick. This coming weekend, I'll be at the Funny Bone in Perrysburg. That's Toledo, Ohio. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. And then after that, next gig is May 20th, Sharpsburg, Kentucky, with Larry the Cable Guy at the Barnyard. And then after that, June 2nd through 4, St. Charles, Missouri, at the Funny Bone. All those tour dates can be found at countryish.com. Click on tour. Dates. Let me get to the man sitting right here across the table. I'm going to try and get you in here quicker.
Yes.
It is 8:18. Now, we did start at 8:10. Yeah. Whatever it was. Sorry for being late, guys. But this guy sitting right here, we go way back. All right. He's kind of famous. He played a little b-ball for the Charlotte Hornets during the Kelly Tripucka years. Only got to block Michael Jordan 3 times in 1 game. I'm talking about the Southeastern Man of Mystery. I'm talking about Sebastian. Ooh,
it keeps going. Thank you. Thank you. No applause button necessary.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, I did get some comments last week about the laugh button, so we're going to nix that a little bit, unless you just think something's funny, but don't hit it after every little thing. But the applause button's great.
Fantastic.
How are you, man?
I'm great, man.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did. Had a good time.
Tell me about all about this cannabis Well, Cannabis Expo.
You put us on the cannabis, the Carolinas Cannabis Convention. I'm the number one person that should be there since I know everything there is to know about cannabis. Absolutely nothing.
Well, we know a lot about John Reap and country-ish.
Yeah. But we had a good time with your sponsor.
Yes.
Alpine Hemp Company.
Alpine's Hemp.
Yeah. We were taking pictures. We sold some hot sauce. Got the John Reap hot sauce out there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people into the hot sauce.
The hot sauce is great. Right.
And you can get off that on the website, correct? It's available on the website.
So was there cookies involved? Didn't you tell me you sold cookies?
No, sir.
Man.
We should have.
Elliot. You're getting at me today, buddy. There was a text that you sent me that said, "Oh, but we got we passed out cookies or something." Did you make cookies?
Koozies.
Oh, it must have corrected you. It must have corrected you to cookies. Because I'm thinking that would be smart. I was going to give you props if you did do it, but then you just told me you didn't. So nix that. But I was going to say smart to have cookies at a cannabis convention because everyone's going to want a cookie.
We should have had them.
The munchies kick in.
I had three bags of Cheetos and they all disappeared.
Oh, yeah. So there's the picture. We had a little booth set up. I was in Syracuse, so I couldn't make it. There's Benny with the hot sauce. There's Sebastian. There's Elliot. And who's this? Who's the person?
That's Mama Jay. She puts your stuff together.
Oh, yeah. Yes. She did that. Yes. That's right. So very good. Thanks for doing that, guys. And there's the Alpine's Hemp Company booth with their products. Good times. I hate I missed it. But there'll be another year. So thanks for doing that. Yep. If you were at my show in Syracuse, this is what I was talking about. This is country-ish. Maybe last night you saw Heffron and Reap. Tonight is country-ish. Leave a comment. Let's get to know each other. Let's hang out. Happy early Mother's Day and birthday to Mimosa Betty Reap.
Oh, is her birthday this?
It's on May the 8th, and this year Mother's Day is May the 8th.
You're double downed.
I know, and I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be flying back from Toledo that day. So, Mom, we're going to have to do something that night. We'll figure it out. Everyone say happy birthday and Mother's Day to Mimosa, and that will help me.
Yes.
What else? Okay, still doing no drinko de cinco. Haven't had one drop of alcohol since April the 2nd.
I'm so proud of you.
That's 31 days.
Is that 31 days? You couldn't.
It's 31 days since April 2nd. Today's May 3rd. I got two more days to go.
Two more days.
Yeah.
And 33 days is where you're going shooting for.
Yeah. Well, I was just going
to. Like Jesus' age. You're trying to be perfect. Yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
That's impossible, but I'll try. So I'm doing that. I got two more days left. And I've been doing yoga, DDPY, with Travis Mahaffey.
Yeah.
He has a deal. Go to shamrockfitness.org and you will get 50% off. That's 8 classes for $200. He normally charges $50 an hour and he'll get you in shape. Okay. Now, our next country-ish after dark. Let's talk about that.
Oh, the last one was
The last one was fantastic. Shane Flint with Amazing Story. I hate you missed it. Were you here for that?
Yeah, I was there. I was
stoned out of my head. I don't know. I ate one of these.
You took
edibles.
Too many gummies.
It was so good. But the next one will be May the 17th, 9:30, after we do a live country-ish. We're going to do it Tuesday, May 17th. So go to our Patreon page, become a Patreon supporter to $5 level and up, and you will be a part of country-ish after dark. Kind of have a good time. New cruise ship, Wonder of the Seas, that's coming up. Well, not coming up. It'll be next year. November 5, 2023, we're doing Sea Amigos. That's me, Reno Collier, John Heffron are doing a cruise. You're going to be there. A lot of these guys will be there, hopefully. We got time to plan this, but it's comedy, karaoke, meeting and greeting, and good times. So get on that. Let's move on to our first segment. What do you say?
Let's do it.
I'm excited for this segment. What I do here is, you see, I go to your Twitter, I click on your hashtag, see, and I find what it is you're talking about, and I weigh in on that topic. It's how you know we're current, we're in the know, we're up with the Joneses. It's a segment that I like to call, Ooh, It's the Best Trends. Here's what you're talking about. Brought to you by Hendrick Honda of Hickory. Are you in the market for a new vehicle? Would you like a used vehicle? Go to Hendrick Honda Hickory. They will hook you up. Happy hashtag Appreciation Day, everybody. Today's the day you're supposed to celebrate your favorite teachers. Has anyone left any comments about their favorite teachers in the comments section, Internet Wizards?
Yes, sir. Barbara Underwood said, Stan Float was my favorite teacher at CPCC in Charlotte. He was a slab glass artist.
CPCC?
CPCC. That's CPCC. Central Piedmont Community College.
Oh, yeah. We had CVCC. They had CPCC. It sounds very Russian, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or communist. But when it was Soviet Union.
Yeah, the CCCP.
Yeah, you know me. Well, my favorite teachers were Mr. Bell, Randy Bell. That was an art teacher. He did that hickory painting over there.
And he still does some teaching at Ford.
He does. Randy Bell, good guy. I'm going to say Miss Hedrick, sixth grade teacher. I didn't like her at the time. She spanked the crap out of me a lot.
Yeah, well, you needed
it. But I deserved it.
You did.
Not all of them, but I deserved most of them. But she is the one who taught me how to do homework correctly. Like, really got me a schedule. She got me focused, and I learned how to do it. I learned how to learn. Sometimes you don't know how to learn. And then I had Mr. Sechrist, was a good teacher, Johnny Sechrist at Ford, and Miss Sigmund. Now, Miss Sigmund, do you remember when we did Hickory Live, the TV show? We had one pilot episode. Yeah. I had Miss Sigmund come on, and she was my eighth grade English teacher. She gave us a book report, and I'll just show you a little clip of me and Miss Sigmund on this pilot we did called Hickory Live. Check it out. Yeah, this was.
But he looked at me and he said, "Carolina sucks." You didn't use that word back in the 70s.
No. Can't say Carolina. That's right. For two reasons.
Two reasons.
You don't say that about Carolina, and you just don't say that.
Right, right. You got it.
That's awesome. So we were reconnected not long ago. Your daughter's a judge.
She is.
That's right. And my dad was a bailiff in her courtroom.
Right.
And I came to visit you.
Yes. You did.
And my dad and you, you're like,
of course you know
judges.
You
said to me, you want to thank me? I started your comedy career. And she's right. You want to tell everyone about this? There was a project that we had to do.
There was. Being an avid reader myself, I always assigned book reports to students because I wanted everybody, all these kids to read. They didn't like to read, so I made them read by assigning book reports. And I tried to kind of change it up so children wouldn't get too bored. And this particular assignment was to choose a biography, mm-hmm. not to tell me or anybody the person who was chosen, and on the day of the report, the student was to come dressed as that person.
Yes.
And when they got in front of the class, they were to use first-person I and actually become that person.
Yes.
So the day that John was to give his report, he came to me and he said, I have to change clothes. I mm-hmm. said, that's fine. I'll have some other reports. You wait in the hall. I'll come and get you. Well, when I opened the door, I know my jaw dropped because there stood John in a dress, high heel shoes, and I'm going to call it a pocketbook, a purse over his arm. But John didn't miss a beat. He absolutely did not miss a beat. And keep in mind, he's walking into an eighth grade classroom. Think of your eighth grade years, eighth grade classroom.
It was scary.
Well, you weren't scared.
Oh, I was scared. You just couldn't tell. Anyway. Acting.
Exactly. But John walked into the classroom, walked to the front of the room, turned around, faced the class, and said, do you remember what you said? No. Go ahead.
What did I say?
You said.
Hi, I'm Rosalind Carter.
And I think he added, and I'm here to tell you about myself. And he did not lose Mrs. Carter.
Yeah.
He did not lose the character, which is absolutely.
We actually, you recorded them.
Yeah.
On VHS tape.
And that's another.
And you gave it to me.
Well.
When you retired, you're like, you know what? I got these. I've been using, you said you used mine as an example.
I did.
To show other students how to do this.
Yeah, sure.
And we have the tape.
Oh.
You get to see me in a dress in the eighth grade.
Oh, boy.
Y'all want to see it? All right. Let's roll that beautiful bean footage.
Hello, my name is Roseanne Collins. I'm 6 years old. The first thing I'm going to talk about is my childhood.
I was born and raised.
Everyone's turning around.
Look at him.
He can't even look.
One day, me and Ruth were staying, and Jimmy came up to Ruth and told her that we
That's my mom's dress. Uh-huh. I sprung this on her last minute, by the way.
I know, we all do this.
I said, Mom, I got a book report due today, and I got to dress up like a girl.
I became the First Lady of the United States.
I'm not sure what Rosalynn Carter's hair looked like back then. I bet you it wasn't far off from this.
No, it's close.
There you go.
Wow. All right,
that's good, the Alan Jackson. So,
wow.
Thank you, Miss Sigmund, for making
well,
me do
I didn't
that.
Know that. Miss Sigmund, I know her.
I know her.
Yeah,
well,
her daughter is a judge.
Yes, Amy. My we played basketball together. She's got me at least one or two divorces signed.
Yeah, she's good. My dad worked with her. He was the bailiff there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was fun. Also, hashtag Bill Murray. What do you know about this? Bill Murray comes clean about the Aziz Ansari film shut down at Berkshire Hathaway Conference. Yeah. So, what happened was Murray said, I had a difference of opinion with a woman I'm working with. I did something I thought was funny, and it wasn't taken that way. He didn't exactly apologize or even speak about the incident in great detail, but he did explain that he and the woman are now in conversation and whether they can continue to work on the project is we'll see. But there's a little video of it. I'll let him tell you what happened. But yeah, this kind of it bums me out with Bill Murray gets in trouble. I mean, not Bill Murray too. You know what I mean? Let's see what he said though.
But before we do, I'd just like to jump in. You've been in the headlines recently because of a movie you've been working on.
Did you hear about this show?
Oh, I've seen production on Adam Carolla about it.
This
watch
is the first time you're talking. Okay. I just wonder what happened.
Well, there's a difference. We had a difference of opinion. I had a difference of opinion with a woman I'm working with. I did something I thought was funny, and it wasn't taken that way. The company, the movie studio, wanted to do the right thing, so they wanted to check it all out, investigate it, and so they stopped the production. But as of now, we're talking and we're trying to make peace with each other. I think that's where the real issue is between our peace. We're both professionals. We like each other's work. We like each other, I think. And if we can't really get along and trust each other, there's no point in going further working together or making the movie as well. It's been quite an education for me. I've been doing not much else but thinking about it for the last week or two, and I feel like if I don't see that, you know, the world's different than it was when I was a little kid. You know,
sadly,
what I always thought was funny as a little kid isn't necessarily the same as what's funny now.
Yeah. Okay, Alan. My instinct is to defend Bill Murray because I love Bill Murray. He's a comedian and
yeah.
I don't know what he said. I don't know what he did.
We'll find that eventually.
Yeah. So we're not sure exactly yet what it was, but this is not the first time that he's sort of upset people. He's known for his pranks off stage, on stage, messing with people. And other people have been critical of Murray's behavior. In 2021, Lucy Liu said Murray made an inexcusable and unacceptable comment about her when they were filming Charlie's Angels. Remember that?
Yeah.
Charlie's Angels. So he pissed her off. In 2019, Richard Dreyfuss said that Murray was a bully on the set of What About Bob? And I don't want to believe these things, but now that's three people. And then we got this one. Angelica Houston in 2019 said that Murray was a shit to her while shooting the movie Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, though she acknowledged their relationship has since improved. So I hate this, but sometimes old school comedians, they're just used to busting balls. And if you get a new actress or someone else who's a younger person, who maybe they got a swollen ego, and it's up to Bill Murray to bring them back down to earth sometimes and bust balls.
He is a Ghostbuster, dude.
Yeah, he's a ghost ball buster.
Be careful.
Right. So let's see here what this lady's – they're saying I'm trying to think of who it was. Oh, it could be – the woman in question is Kiki Palmer, and she said on Instagram that it can lower your rate when people don't like – the experience of working with you, no matter the outcome of the actual task. So she's saying the fact that Bill doesn't want to work with me or we have this problem could make me get paid less in the future.
Oh.
That's what she means by lower her rate. So bummer. I can't wait to find out what actually happened. But yeah, that's what's in the news. Also, Naomi Judd passed away. Very, very sad. We've had her daughter Wynonna Judd on this show.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
Sweet, funny, energetic, awesome, talented lady. Never. Well, I did meet Naomi Judd one time. She was a judge of Star Search when Arsenio Hall was the host, and I was on Star Search. And
I didn't know you were on Star Search.
Yeah.
You didn't want to tell anybody? What's wrong?
It's out there. I mean, I can't give my resume every show. I'd be here all day.
Oh, God.
No, I was on one episode, maybe two, of the new Star Search. It came out like 2002 or something. Yeah. And I came out. She was a judge. Who else was a judge? I can't remember who the other two judges were. Oh, anyway, she was nice.
Yeah.
The other judges were like, it's okay. It's not my cup of tea. And I got beat by Ben Bailey, the cash cab guy. Remember him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he beat me that round and then advanced. And I think Lonnie Love won the whole thing that year. But, yeah. So I have fond memories of her. She was nice to me.
Yes.
Of the three judges. So, and she said she died of mental health issues, which now we're learning before we went live that it was suicide. I'm not sure how she did it. Either way, it's horrible. Probably pills. I mean, if you're going to do it, that's how I would do it. But I hope it wasn't too gruesome for the people who had to find her. But that's just tragic. So anyway, rest in peace, Naomi Judd. Yeah, let's move on. We've got a lot of show to do. I got money to give away, everybody, okay? We've got Cletus T. Judd is going to zoom into the show. We have a great small-town news story about a guy whose penis fell off. it's kind of, bugs me a little bit. But first, let's check in. Larry the Cable Guy and I are going to be doing a show on the 20th of May in Sharpsburg, Kentucky, and I had him zoom in. It was a very long interview. We've chopped it up into little bits. So here's a little segment where I was asking him your questions from Facebook. So let's see if he answered your question. Let's check out this little clip from me and Larry the Cable Guy. I put on Facebook before we went on any questions you want me to ask Larry. A lot of people were asking, is there ever going to be a Toe Mater spinoff movie from Cars? People are asking about that.
There kind of was. Cars 2 was kind of like Toe Mater's movie.
Yeah.
That's where Toe Mater, the movie was revolved around. That movie actually, I believe, came out of a Mater short, a Mater tale, when Mater did, when he was like, when McQueen would go, Mater would tell a story and McQueen would say, somebody goes, shoot, yeah, dude, you was there too. You was there too. And then he'd go on with the story. So the second movie really was one big, gigantic Mater tale.
Yeah.
I would consider Cars 1 and Cars 3 to go together. I would consider Cars 3 the sequel to Cars 2. Even though there was a little mention of Cars 2 in the third movie, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
But just a little Easter egg. But you know, Mater already did have that, and there are some new Mater and McQueen's tales. I forget what they're calling them. Tales of Mater, Lightning McQueen, and Mater, or Tales from Radiator Springs. They're coming out in September on Disney Plus.
Oh, good. Okay. I'll ask you one more question. I'll let you go. There's always these.
Ask me as many as you want, John Reed.
This is why I love you, buddy. You know, there's always a stupid national holiday. Like every day, there's some national day. There's National Avocado Day, Asparagus Day. There's all this stuff. Well, today is National Amaretto Day, which is the liqueur that comes from a nut. Random question: what is your favorite nut?
John Reap.
Boom! I was hoping if you said anything other than John Reap or the hickory nut, I was going to say incorrect. Dude, you nailed it.
John Reap is my favorite nut. That's right. You know, we used to celebrate Amaretto Day, but, you know, it's more for the kids anyway, and they kind of outgrew it. So. Right. We don't do much for them anymore.
What is your favorite? What's the best piece of merchandise you sell?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I kind of quit doing merchandise. I do hats now on the internet. Bass Pro Shop, Cabela's, they sell a lot of my hats.
Yeah.
It's got to be a pain in the neck after a while.
Yeah.
When you do 22 shows a year, it's kind of a pain in the neck to sell stuff. I think probably the coolest stuff that I got are the foods that I sell for my foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got some good potato chips and some good spices. And I think those are probably the coolest things because they go for a good cause. And I'll tell you another cool thing about how those got started. I started doing foods after, I don't know. I started doing foods somewhere around 2010 or 11, I think, 12. But I went out to dinner with the cast of Cars in 2006. And I was actually thinking about doing a food line like Paul Newman always had. You know?
Yeah.
And by gosh, I'm at dinner and sitting right next to me is Paul Newman. And he's sitting right across from me. So I'm here. Paul Newman's right across from me. John Lasseter's across from me. And we just got to talk. And it was really cool when Paul Newman said that he was a fan and he liked my style of comedy. He reminded me of the old time one-liner guys. So I thought that was kind of cool. But he gave me a ton of tips on how to get your food stuff going and start your foundation using food stuff. So I passed that information along to people I was working with. And so some of my first forays into foods for my foundation were actually tips from Paul Newman.
Wow. All right. There we go. Larry the Cable Guy, everybody. Come see us in Sharpsburg, Kentucky. May the 20th at the Barnyard. Let me ask you this. Credit cards, student loans, mortgages, car loans, hospital bills. Ay, ay, ay. Did you know you have a lot of rights if any of these ever go to debt collections? That's right. Consumers, not debt collectors, have a huge list of rules they have to abide by, and that is where the law firm SueTheCollector.com comes in. SueTheCollector.com is a national consumer law firm that only helps consumers. The lawyers at Sue the Collector have helped literally thousands of people turn the tables on debt collectors and put an end to the illegal harassment, abuse, and repeated phone calls that many people find themselves subjected to through no fault of their own. The lawyers at Sue the Collector can help everyone in all 50 states and have won millions for consumers over the years. They've canceled over $1 billion in consumer-related debts. That's right, a billion. Now, right now, they really want to speak to anyone that's had their car repossessed. Did you know consumers do not have to allow repo men to take their cars against their will? In most cases, you can actually legally refuse to let them take your car. If you've ever objected to a car repo and they still got your car against your will, you may be sitting on a very valuable case. Call Sue the Collector's office right now, 1-877-BAD-REPO. Or 1-877-223-7376. Again, that's 1-877-BAD-REPO or 1-877-223-7376. They're open right now to take your call. Again, that is 1-877-BAD-REPO. Oh, okay. You know, I do another podcast from time to time with my buddy John Heffron. It's called Heffron and Reap. And we go live every Monday night, and here's a little clip of us last night talking about peanut allergies on airplanes. Check this out.
But they made an announcement on my flight that somebody on the flight has peanut allergies. And again, if this is a comic, I'm not trying to do your bit, but they literally said, so you can't have, as I have a bag of peanut M&Ms.
Right.
So I'm like, am I not allowed to even bring them out? Or, you know, so I put them in my pocket and I was just kind of like, Like I look around and then I pop one.
Yeah.
But why is peanut allergies? Why does that get to be the thing that the whole everybody on the plane has to abide by? Like I'm allergic to cats.
Right.
And so if I'm allergic to cats, can I make it so no cats are on the plane?
You, or dogs? I think so. Yes.
Is that fair? Like, why is one allergy the other?
Yes, it's dumb. I don't know how they come up with that. They don't poll everyone beforehand and go, like, I'm allergic to cats.
Or have
a because they don't think it's a deathly thing. But, like, by the way, peanut allergies did not exist 15, 20 years ago. And by the way, it's only in America.
Yeah. Have a peanut allergy flight then. You know, yeah. If you have a peanut allergy, then you get the seven to. I don't know. I don't know any. I'm not saying the peanut allergy.
Have an all peanut flight just brought to you by Planters. And then everyone on the plane has to eat peanuts from Planters. All right. Heffron and Reap, everybody. Go to heffronandreap.com for the whole episode. All right. I'm excited for our next guest who's going to be zooming in here any second. I've worked with this guy. I've known him for quite a long time, and I bet you have too. He is basically the Weird Al Yankovic of country music, right? All the funny spoof songs and parodies he's made over the years. And he's a funny dude. He does comedy. And we're going to get to know him a little bit. Who's zooming? I'll tell you who's zooming. Cletus T. Judd, everybody. And here he is right now, the very famous, very funny, very talented Cletus T. Judd. How are you?
Hey, buddy. How you doing, Reeve? Good to talk to you, man.
Man, it's good to see you. Good to talk to you as well. Let me start off with, where are you zooming in from today?
Man, I am actually at my home over here on the Ohio River, the entertainment capital of the world, Proctorville, Ohio, is where I'm residing at. Yes.
Proctorville, Ohio. What city are you close to? I'm trying to think.
Man, it's called the Tri-State. It's like it's right beside Huntington, West Virginia, and right on the border of Kentucky. I can get to all three states in about 5 minutes. So
wow,
that's where Proctorville is. But I actually live right on the river right here.
What? So let's start from the beginning, my friend. I want to know the whole history of Cletus T. Judd. How do we get to where you at right now? Where are you from? Take me through all of it.
Man, I tell you, Reef, it would take probably four podcasts to do it all. But, man, you know, I was in school. I had a pretty tough growing up, you know, as a lot of us do. You know, a lot of us idiots turn out to be comics. But sports was always my outlet. You know, I love sports. They said I would never make the eighth grade basketball team, and I didn't. And the guy that was my coach there, Mick Piley, cut me and said I was too fat and just killed me, you know. And I went out my freshman year, ended up playing 4 years of basketball, ended up getting a scholarship, a full ride to Reinhardt Methodist College. I played basketball at Reinhardt.
I never knew this.
Man, you know, the funny part is I really, John, didn't really gel basketball wise until after high school. I mean, I played a lot my senior year, but I played in a really competitive pickup league right out of high school with actually the leading scorer at Marshall University, which is just across the river here, was one of my best friends that I played against. And I always bring it up in my memories. One night we played each other and he had 30 and I had 40. and he went on to be the leading scorer at Marshall. But
well, hang on. How tall are you?
I'm 6 feet. Just and that's pushing it.
What's your specialty? You a point guard? You
man, I could shoot. I couldn't jump over a Huntington phone book, but I could shoot a basketball, and wow. I worked really hard at it. And just so happens that I played in that competitive league, and the course of 3 days, and this is all documented, so nobody thinks I'm lying, but I scored 30, 40, and 63. I had 63 points when this was in 19. It was in the right after I graduated, 1983.
Okay.
And the coach at Reinhardt Methodist College, son, was there and watched some of those games. And he called his dad, Kyle Smith, and said, "Dad, you gotta see this white kid's killing these boys over here." And it just so happens I had appendicitis and. I had my appendix took out, and the coach called my mom and said, "Hey, Moselle, we want Barry to come up and try out at Reinhardt." And she said, "Well, Kyle, he can. He's got 8 stitches in his belly." And I said, "Oh, hell no, I'm going. I'm gone." And I went up there. I'll never forget it, Reap. I had on the Georgia Tech sweatshirt and Georgia Tech sweats, and we scrimmaged for a half. And out of that 20 minutes, I hit like the first 5 shots that I took. And Coach Smith called a timeout and said, "Scrimmage over, we're done." And I'm thinking, man, I must not have made a good impression. And he said, "Look, anybody that can score that many times in that amount of time and bleeding half to death with your whole sweatpants covered in blood, welcome to Reinhardt." And that's how I got my full ride up there.
Wow, Cletus, that is amazing, dude. I'm so happy you told me that. See,
true
this
story.
I love asking this stuff because – I bet you there's a lot of people who know you who have no idea that you're like a natural athlete.
Man, Joellen Wilson was the counselor there, and Joellen, she was at the gym that evening, you know, kind of overseeing the rules and regulations. And she said, "Kyle, he can't come to school here. He ain't never took an SAT, an ACT, or nothing." He said he hit 5 threes in a row. Welcome to Reinhardt. And there I went. I knew I was never going to make it, you know, at the next level. And I went to hair school. I was a barber. Rother Miller Barber College down in Atlanta, Georgia. And here again, they said, "Man, you ain't never going to be nothing but a barber. That's all you'll be able to do." And I thought, well, I'll show you. And I went to work as a barber, worked for about 3 months. And then I went to work at a big, fine, fancy, falutin' high-dollar salon called Don Shaw in Atlanta, and I became addicted to it, went on to watch videos and after videos and got really good at it. And
wow.
The biggest crowd I've ever played for in my entire life was when I was doing hair. I was picked to do the World Championships of Hairdressing in Dusseldorf, West Germany in 1988, and there was 100,000 people in this big-ass building. I mean, it looked like the Omni in Atlanta. And Whitney Houston was singing "One Moment in Time," and I was on stage doing hair in Dusseldorf, West Germany. And,
amazing. Holy crap.
When I got in the hair business and started making money, you know, for the first time, that's when the demise happened. You know, that's when you and I've had this conversation a little bit along the way, you know, that's when I developed a liking to things that I shouldn't have partook in.
Easy to do, my friend. Very
easy. You know,
easy.
I was making a good, back then, you know, making a good bit of money, and I discovered cocaine and crystal meth and became an addict. And it was a tough time for several years, man. The meth thing, I always called it dust off the devil's coffee table. You know, that was just, it basically took everything I had, you know, what I'd worked for. I found myself in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida in 1990 on a bridge in Ponte Vedra for 6.5 hours on that bridge, you know, thinking of taking my own life. And by the grace of God, you know, a friend of mine in Atlanta got me out of there and flew me home. And, I was sitting on the floor in a double wide trailer in 1991, and Vince Gill had won an award for a song called "When I Call Your Name," and I had never been in the music business or nothing ever. And I turned around and my mother was crying and I said, "Mama, what's wrong?" She said, "I'd give anything in the world to meet that man." And I said, "Well, if you want to meet Vince Gill, I can hook that up." And she said, "Hell, you can't sing a lick. You can't meet Vince Gill." And I said, "You let me figure that out." And then that's when my journey began. I went down and did an amateur night at the Buckboard Country Music Showcase in Marietta, Georgia. I know you know where that is. And I won the amateur night 2 weekends in a row doing some old stupid songs. And my mom gave me $650 and bought me a Toyota pickup truck. And I moved to Nashville. I didn't know a soul hardly. I slept in a walk-in closet from time to time at a buddy of mine's house. I took baths at the YMCA.
Yeah.
I would go to Music Row the next day and try to meet people and this sort of thing. And the ice storm, I'd really struggled for about 3 years, man, as we all do, is, you know, aspiring to be what we are now. And the ice storm came through in 1994, and I was driving home in that old pickup truck. I never had nothing going, and I was scraping the windshield of that pickup truck with a Mark Chestnut CD out the window, and I got frostbite on my left hand, and I didn't have no insurance or nothing, and I went to a doctor, and he said, "Man, there's a chance you're going to lose your fingers. They turn black, you know, as frostbite does," and I'll never forget, it's a Sunday night. I called my mother, Collect. Most people won't even remember what Collect is.
Right.
And she answered, and I said, "Mom, I've done everything I can do. I've gave it everything I had. I'm hungry. My clothes are filthy. I'm fixing to lose my damn fingers." I said, I can't do it no more. And she said, Are you sure? And I said, "I'm telling you, come and get me." And John, as true as I can tell it, in my right ear, I heard a song on a little radio, a little small transistor radio, and it was Tim McGraw singing Indian Outlaw.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As the song was playing, I started singing, "They're my Indian in-laws. Came to visit me and my squaw. Been here for a month, y'all. About to lose my mind." I said, "Mom, I got to call you back." And she said, "Well, am I coming to get you?" And I said, "I'll tell you in 2 months." And we borrowed some money. $250, T. Graham Brown and another fellow, the late Bruce Birch and Jody Jackson, Bruce, who passed away a few months ago. And we went and recorded that on a cassette player, and we sent it to 200 radio stations, and 199 of them played that thing on cassette. And wow. The next thing you know, I got a record deal.
Did you have any inkling that you would get into music? Did you play anything? Not musically inclined. No. And you look like, and this is a good thing, and this is why I think you and I are going to get along. I mean, we already do, but this is, I can see we have a lot in common. You seem a little bit more hip hop and urban to me than you do country a little bit. Like,
yeah.
I see the outfit. I just did you grow up liking, I mean, you played basketball?
Yeah. Absolutely. No, you nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. I was the first white guy in the 10th grade Mr. Moore's class to memorize Sugar Hill Gang's Rapper's Delight from front to back.
Yeah.
And still to this day, man, I love 70s, 80s hip-hop, disco music. Man, it'd be hard to stump me on that disco stuff.
So were you listening to it? Is that what you were listening to in high school? Or is it a mix of everything?
Yeah. Styx, you know, I loved REO Speedwagon, Styx, that genre. I never got into much of the 90s music that much. By then, I was leaning more towards country and, you know, started chilling out a little bit. And it kind of resonated a little bit more with me because, hell, I knew I couldn't take Weird Al spot, you know.
Yeah, so, right. I also remember seeing and rooting for you on Celebrity Fit Club. How'd that get going?
That was something. That was one of the funnest things I'd ever done. I was in L.A., you know. I know you lived out there. I lived out there for about 100 days. And my job was basically to eat blueberries and grilled chicken. That's all I ate for 100 days.
Wow.
And had to put up with Screech, you know, God rest his soul.
Right.
You know, but now you talking about me and that dude did not get along. I mean, buddy, that was real. There was no that last episode when he talked about my kid and said some things about Caitlin when she, you know, that I was a big sissy and started making fun of me because of my daughter.
I saw.
Yeah.
I could tell that was a legit emotion.
Oh, yeah.
When it was watching it, because I wanted to jump through the TV screen and take a swing at Screech myself when that happened.
Yeah. That one got me there.
Yeah.
I was ready to.
That was a real emotion.
I tore up some things in that church where we were shooting that I wasn't supposed to tear up that y'all didn't see, you know, but it was a wonderful experience. I lost a ton of weight, you know, but hell, when you eat blueberries and chicken for 180 people.
Well,
yeah, it's easy to do.
What are you working on now? What's new for you? I saw the Sleepy Joe Biden song on your website.
Man, that was, you know, I'm not much of a political dude. I'm not smart enough to, you know, I know who I like and who I don't like. But once it gets past that, I'm not very intelligent in that world. But Toby had done a song called I'll Never Smoke Weed with Willie Again. And so I was just sitting around one night, me and Amanda, my wife, we were laying in there in the bed and we wrote, I'll never vote for Sleepy Joe Biden again.
Right.
And we put it up on, the website, you know, on Facebook. And I think it's getting close to about a million views or something. But, you know, when you do that political stuff, you piss off 50% of them and, you know, the other 50% love you. But it was fun.
Well, let's do this again. Okay. And we'll pick one topic and just go off on that one topic. And,
I get a little scattered. I apologize.
No, I'm just saying I feel that's exactly what people love, a stream of consciousness. I mean, it's just perfect, man. And thank you again. Cletus T. Judd, everybody. Let's do it.
Hey, thank you so much, John. I appreciate you very much.
All right, Cletus T. Judd. How about that?
Great.
Just when I thought like him more, he's such a likable, great guy. And that's a crazy story. I didn't know a lot of. I didn't know he played basketball.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you.
It's like me.
You're the only white guy.
Maybe we need to write a book together.
You and Cletus.
Me and Cletus T. Judd.
Need to collab on something.
We should.
All right. Well, we got money to give away. I don't know if y'all are excited about this. I get all these residual checks sitting to me in the mail, and I'm going to give them to somebody tonight. So if you've never watched this show, if you don't know what this segment is, I'll give you a brief little history. I've done some acting in my day. I've been in some movies, sitcoms, commercials, voiceovers, you name it. I've done a little bit of everything. I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. But they have to pay me when they air these things. They're called residual checks. And I thought I'd make a game out of it. I'm going to open one live on the show. I don't know what it's for. I don't know how much it is. I'm going to tell you what it's for. You call in with a guess. Closest person to the amount, I send you the check. We're going to do some in-house guesses first. So no matter what this is, someone's going to be responsible for what is inside this envelope. It is a game. No, you're fine. I was just clearing my throat. That was not a look. I don't want you guys to sing it this time. I just want me and Sebastian.
Oh, that's even better, isn't it?
Yeah. Right? It is a game that we like to call.
Oh.
How much is that Screen Actors Guild residual?
Got here.
Nailed it.
Hell yeah.
All right, so just pass me one.
Pass you this one. Let's see what you got.
All right, I'm going to open this. I don't know how much it is, what it's for. I'm going to read it and tell me what the deal is. Okay, here we go. Oh! Okay, I should play with this. I don't know how to do this. Is a bill. I was going to say someone's responsible for my Screen Actors Guild dues. If you're a part of the guild, you have to pay dues. So I owe them $188.68.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I should have made someone play this, and they would have had to pay the
All right.
But remind me, Elliot, to pay you. If you don't mind, I got to pay this. Okay, let's do
I'll take care of it for you.
Right, let's do another one.
Let's see how much is in this one. All righty, then, here we go. All right, something different this time.
Ooh, I'm intrigued.
You know the name of our show is called...
Country-ish.
No, where did I get that from?
From Black-ish.
Black-ish, which I was also on an episode of Black-ish. It was called Martin Luther Skiing Day, and I got a check from them. It's for syndication. One check.
One check. Under God.
One episode.
One episode.
Episode 22.
22.
How much? $13.33.
$13.33
is a little low.
Ooh. Okay. Big Paul, big baller.
Let's go to Isaiah.
So since you said Sean was a little low, I'm going to go
Sean.
$23.85.
Closer than him, still a little low, Elliot.
Wow.
$27.86.
$27.86 is the closest in the room. It's not exactly right, but if I had to give this check to someone, it would be you. But I'm not giving it to Elliot. I'm going to give it to one of you when you call in. There should be a number at the bottom of the screen. I forgot to say that part.
That's okay. We've already got
plenty.
We got
people?
We got plenty.
Sorry. Oh, plenty of people.
Here's what Alan's going to do. He's going to pick three people at random. We're going to get you into the show. We'll talk to you. We'll get your guess. Someone's going to win the check. All right. Whenever you're ready, the Alan Jackson, let's get someone in the showroom from the bullpen in here. John Reap, who am I talking to?
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Oh, Rick Sanford III, everybody.
Wow, let's give it up. Virginia.
It's been a minute, buddy. Yeah, we met. How you doing, bud?
Fantastic. How about y'all?
Doing fantastic, man. What you been up to?
Working, trying to stay sane.
Yeah. What was this thing with John Heffern? I know you were trying to reach out to him or something.
I sent him some 80s buttons. Three mixed CDs. Two of them were music from Grand Theft Audio Vice City, the radio stations.
Okay.
And one was recorded audio from the 1980s from two different New York radio stations.
Well, where did you get your hands on that? Is that something you just had?
Something I just had.
Wow.
Wow.
Man, I'd love to go through his garage.
I'd like
his
to know
attic.
About your vintage porn stash there, Rick.
Yeah, I don't do that. That I don't do.
I know you don't, Rick. I was just a joke. Just
how you been, Rick Sanford? So thanks for calling in. I love his laugh.
Life's good.
Got the best laugh ever. All right. So did you ever watch me on Black-ish?
I actually watched that episode and the one that had Kevin Hart.
Oh, really? I didn't see that one. Well, then maybe you'll have a good guess. I played... would you like for me to tell everybody what my character's name was? Whitey.
What?
I played a guy named Whitey who worked at a store called Whitey's. And they came in there. They were going skiing on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And... they were suspicious of me because it was, you know, secluded all white area. And now here's a guy named Whitey, and they were, you know. But it was a fun episode. I love being on it. Rick Sanford III, how much is this Screen Actors Guild residual check?
I'm going to go a little bit higher than everybody else and go $41.28.
Wow. My eyes popped open.
Yeah, did everybody see my eyeballs? That's a good guess. I'm not going to give any more clues to the other people that are calling in. Put him on hold, the Alan Jackson. Let's get another person in the bull in the showroom very fast so they don't pick up on. I don't want to ruin anything. I don't want to. But that was a good guess. We'll just say leave it at that. John Reap here. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. What are you doing?
Just sitting here listening.
Where are you calling in from?
I'm from right next to Marietta, Georgia, where Cletus T was talking about there.
Oh, wow. Is that how you found this show, because of Cletus?
No, I've been listening for a while.
Oh, good. Are you a J-E-F or a G-E-O-F-F?
J J-E-F-S.
Thank you. I don't like these G-offs.
No.
You know what I mean? Don't make me,
yeah, I know,
don't make me do that. Thank you, Jeff. You spell your name correctly. You're from Georgia. How old are you?
42.
Oh, okay. And what do you do for a living?
CDL driver.
CDL. Certified?
Yeah, driver truck.
Driver license.
Is that what that is? Certified driver's license?
That means you can drive a big truck.
Oh, yeah. What are you driving?
Delivering gas cylinders.
Gas cylinders. That sounds oxygen dangerous.
Oxygen to a hospital.
No, oh, okay. No gas, yeah. Just the cylinders. Is there gas in the cylinders?
Yeah.
There is, yeah.
No, dangerous. That's dangerous.
That's hazardous material.
He's got one of them signs on the back with all the colors.
Yeah. Yeah, you ever had any close calls, man? You ever close accidents with the – I mean, that would be – if he wrecked that thing, what kind of gas is in there?
Anything. We carry everything there. Anything you put in the cylinder, we carry it.
Nitrous oxide.
Yeah, that's right.
Nitrous oxide's fun.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever lose one of them tanks, if it ever falls off a truck, you let me know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. Okay, Jeff from Georgia. How much is this Screen Actors Guild residual check?
So my daughter just whispered to my ear, 36, 33. So that's what we'll go with.
Oh, okay. 36, 33 is a good guess. Put them on hold, the Alan Jackson. We got one more. It's not exactly right. And I think for this one, the Alan Jackson, perhaps we played our creepy music underneath. It's okay. I always forget to.
Sorry. I'm trying to do too much.
So I'm going
to
have one of these interns remind me of that. I know you guys are busy over there. Checking your girlfriend's comments and everything.
Oh, I'm playing math games.
You're playing math games. I need you to remind me from time to time on certain things.
Are you playing word noodle?
Always remind me that we got to play the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music underneath this.
The unofficial.
Elliot's really good at reminding me about Hendrick Honda of Hickory, because sometimes I look over, you'll have the hat on, you'll do like this, and I know to do that. So that's one more thing. All right. Got it?
Always one
appreciate
more
you
thing.
Guys.
Gotcha.
All right. The Alan Jackson. Let's get our final caller into the room. Hi, John Reap here. Who am I talking to?
The unofficial.
What?
Oh, hey, who's this? Did he say a Hare Krishna?
Hi. Are you really talking to me?
Yes, sir. Who is this?
I got the line. Let me just hold on. Okay. Sorry, I had you on speakerphone.
That's okay.
I can't believe it.
Yep, believe it, brother. You are on Country-ish Live right now. What is your name?
Remy Boudreaux.
Your name is Reddy Boudreaux?
Remy, R-E-M-Y-S.
Remy. Oh, Remy. Okay.
Yeah, Remy, exactly.
Awesome.
Like Remy Martin, the drink.
Ooh. Got you. Oh, I hear you, brother. Where are you calling in from?
I'm from close to Montreal, Quebec. In Canada.
Canada.
Oh, voulez-vous Canada, français? Très bien, très bien.
I'm originally from New Brunswick, but I live in Montreal, Quebec now.
So you speak French?
Oui. Oui, mais j'aime parler anglais so I could practice.
Got you. Wow, I was trying to figure out what it was. So is French your first language?
Exactly, yeah.
Yes,
French,
wow.
Born in from like, well, my city is French, but in the old days, my father always watched like Cheers and all those English sitcoms, so I learned my English pretty much.
Cheers. From Norm?
You should have watched the little Dukes of Hazzard. Then you'd know what we were saying.
Yeah, good thing it was Cheers about Dukes of Hazzard. Yeah. So, Remy from Canada, Montreal. It's beautiful up there. I've been to the Montreal Just for Laughs Festival many times. You ever see me up there, buddy?
Nope. I wish I had.
Me too.
But, like, I only discovered, like, the John's channel maybe, I don't know, not even a year ago.
Okay.
I subscribed right away.
Well, this is fantastic. I love it when people who are, you know, not just from the South in America are fans and follow us. So I love that we have a French-speaking Canadian that watches country-ish. How would you say country-ish in French?
Well, ça, c'est très semblable. I don't know. I think it's the same because we all slang, I guess. Yeah. And
country, well, let me ask you this, Remy.
Country is country in French. Country.
Oh, it
country-ish.
Is?
Just with a French accent, you know, like.
Oh, I was hoping it'd be something exotic. So wait, the word country is also country in French?
Yes, you only spell the R a bit differently.
Oh,
interesting. Okay.
Country and the T.
All right. I'm trying to think of what's a good French. Can you teach Isaiah some French? I want to hear Isaiah say something in French. France. Yeah, French. What's a good?
Let me think, because I really like it. I really like the way he talks. Let me think. Hold on.
Yeah, you got a fan, dude.
I'm glad you like my redneck and knees. That's what I call my language.
You're another reason why I subscribed.
I love it. All right.
West Virginia.
Okay. Then say, okay.
There you go. Well.
J'aime bien qu'un Français aime le show.
Have at it.
Can you say that one more time?
J'aime bien qu'un Français aime le show. Which yes. means I appreciate that a Frenchie likes the show.
Yes. Go ahead,
I already forgot the first.
I'm like you, I already forgot.
Which means I like.
Say it again. J'aime bien.
This is all recorded, so you can still go back afterwards.
Yeah. Let's do it later.
What I meant.
All right. Thank you. I know everyone at home is pulling their hair out right now. How much is the damn check? Okay. It's okay. Right. We'll do it later.
So I'm speaking with John right now.
Yes, this is John Reap.
That's just amazing. I told you, if you ever come near Montreal, Toronto, I'll share. Make sure you get a full audience. You need to come down here.
I would love to come up there. And also, me and you, Remy, we're going to go out and eat some poutine together.
Mm. Oh, so you know. All right.
Très bien.
I know you know your stuff.
It's très bien.
You
know that's all I know. Très bien.
No, it's très bien. C'est excellent.
Excellent. All right. How much is this Screen Actors Guild check?
27, right on the money.
$27. All right, put him on hold.
I would love to say it's like $1,000, but
yeah, I would like to say that always, too.
It's not the same digits.
No, so it's not $1,000.
I watch your show, so
I love
not
this
meaning
guy.
To putting you down.
No, I want to get him and Doe Days together. I want to hear them two have a conversation.
Remy, be a Patreon. Join the After Dark next time.
Yeah, you got to come to After Dark, buddy. I want to see what you look like, too. All right, put them on hold, the Alan Jackson. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hand this check off to normally Mark Havaball. Sergeant Havaball is here, and he takes the check, and he gives it to the Alan Jackson. And the Alan Jackson feeds it into the mainframe. The algorithm machine that we have.
From NASA,
which was also on Superman 3 with Richard Pryor.
Before Christopher Reeve's accident.
It was before the accident, yes.
So
yes.
We have full capacity.
It still works. It didn't fall off a horse. It's fine. That's where you're going. And it works really fast.
Fast, super fast. So we can tell it's really going fast.
We don't do numbers. We don't.
Thank God Elon Musk is buying this.
What else showed up?
Oh,
got you a new beer.
Doesn't
buddy.
Help with no ball opener, but that's fine.
Oh wait a minute,
that's
all right. We got
so John, ball it's here all right. John, the computer has spat out the winner.
We've got the winner right here.
The winner is here.
Okay, so
it's been verified. It has been checked. Everything's
okay,
good to go. So you want to bring him in the room?
It's been verified.
Yeah, it has been verified.
Okay.
Twice.
Wow. That's fast.
The accounting firm of, you know, how they deal in the Oscars.
Let's get the winner back in the room and let's talk to him. Let's find out who won.
Okay, the winner of the game is in the room at this moment.
Okay. Hi, John Reap. Who's this?
Bonjour, mes amis. Comment allez-vous?
That's a French Virginian, I can tell.
Sanford, three. Bien. Very good. Congratulations, Mr. Rick Sanford the Third. Your guess was how much?
I believe it was $41.38.
You were the closest one, my friend, because the actual amount of this check was $44 even.
Not too bad.
Not too shabby. I'm going to sign this over to you, and I'll have Elliot get it in the mail ASAP. And I think you also need a bottle of hot sauce.
Yeah, I will definitely use.
Yes. So let's get him a bottle of John Reap's Hickory Hot Sauce and this residual check. But I don't know if we have your address, so make sure to send me or Elliot your address, and we'll get it out to you ASAP. Okie dokie.
All right. Yeah, just give Elliot my number and have him just send me a text.
Yeah, will do. And for those of you who love this game and you want to keep it going, just stream anything I'm in. You know what I mean? Like, watch Into the Storm. That movie specifically, I get bigger checks. So if you want a big check, everyone at home, stream the movie Into the Storm or Rodney or Eastbound and Down, Harold and Kumar, anything I've been in, and we'll keep the game going so I can keep handing these checks out to everybody. All righty. Thank you. We have one question for you, Mr. Rick Sanford III.
What are you going to do with all that cash?
I'm going to buy Isaiah some French lessons.
Yes.
Right. Sign him up on that. What is that website that they do?
Rosetta Stone. First 30 days is free.
All right. Thank you. We got one more.
It's Rosetta Stone.
I saw that movie. That was Kathleen Turner. That was her first movie.
No, that's Romancing the Stone.
That's awesome.
All right. Thank you, Rick. All right. Let's move on to the final segment.
I can't wait.
Dare I say the anchor of the show. A lot of people just tune in just for this segment. You know, there's a lot of negative things going on in the news. I'm talking real negative politics, pandemics, Putins. We don't do that. We're pure joy, pure pleasure. Pure. This might cause a little pain, this story. It's a story that can be best described by my good friend, Justin Clyde Williams. Take it away, Justin.
We're just small town dudes with small town news, breaking stories of crimes committed you never do. Mind your P's and Q's or they'll cover you. The town may be small, but the news is huge.
All right, man. This one hurt.
I've been looking forward to this all night long.
I'm just going to read the headline. My penis fell off, but it regrew on my arm. Now I'm a real man again. That's the headline from the New York Post.
This is the same people that broke the Hunter Biden laptop story. So
is it?
Yeah, I mean, you can trust it.
So I'm pretty sure they look. You see his arm right there? See that scar on his arm?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's forearm skin.
I had this one yet.
Can't tell if this guy's flexing or if he's just happy to see you. Look, this all started 12 years ago in Norfolk, England. A guy by the name of Malcolm McDonald suffered an infection in his perineum. Do you know what that is? Anybody know what the perineum is?
I have no idea.
Well, it sounds bad.
It's the taint.
It's the taint.
Yeah, no man's land.
Why didn't they just say taint?
The neutral zone. DMZ. Taint. Taint neither the butt nor the balls. That area got infected. And that infection spread, and it caused his penis to fall off and drop to the floor.
Oh, God.
Boom.
It just dropped the mic?
Mic drop.
I mean, is that?
Yeah. Good thing you didn't have a dog.
This is so tough, dude. This is the hardest thing I've ever. This is the worst.
Yeah. Well, surgeons made him a new penis using a skin flap on his left arm. And we have a picture. So for those of you that are just listening to this podcast, you got to go look us up on YouTube. We got a picture of this guy up there, and he's got a big scar on his arm. They used the skin to grow a new one. They plan to move the man-made member down to his pubic area, but they were forced to stop the operation due to a lack of oxygen in his blood. So they couldn't keep it going because he had bad hemoglobin or hemoglobin.
Listen, I want to tell the Lord right now, I'm sorry that I was pissed today about the bad day I had because this guy's been having a lot of bad days.
100%, and it's going to get worse. We're only about a third of the way into this story.
Oh, my gosh.
So then, all right, they had to cancel the surgery.
It fell off.
Lack of oxygen.
They put it on his arm.
Yep. So then old McDonald here, that's his name, Mr. McDonald, was left with an artificial phallus poking out of his forearm for 6 years. For 6 years, this guy had to walk around. With a penis
his arm.
On his forearm, because the second surgery was delayed many times because of scheduling mix-ups, COVID-19, and staff shortages, which oddly enough is what he had, a staff shortage. But over time, McDonald here eventually became used to having the appendage on his arm. He said people would ask me about it when they'd see me at a bar, and of course they would make jokes. They'd call me bisexual. Popeye the penis man. He said, I get it. It's not every day you see a man with a penis on his arm. Good news is I'm undefeated at arm wrestling. No takers. He said, of course, I see the funny side. I have to. I have no other option. If I lost my temper and got into a scuffle, I could be arrested for cockfighting.
That's good.
There's a new documentary out. No joke. There is a documentary out.
No joke.
And it's called The Man with the Penis on His Arm. That's what they're called. No. It's just a straightforward name. Yeah. And in this documentary, he recalls helping an elderly lady retrieve an item from the top shelf at a supermarket, only to have his penis pop out of his sleeve and almost hit her on the head. That's sexual assault. No, I wanted the tea bags.
Oh, my Lord.
Not a dildo to the
get
head.
The tea bags off the top shelf.
Right.
Oh, this is so – I can't believe you went on this one, this journey.
This is great. Earlier this year, however, doctors finally performed a successful surgery, moving McDonald's man-made penis from the forearm down to his pubic area. And now every time he shakes hands or puts his arm through his sleeve, he gets a hard-on. No. It was a 9-hour operation, he said. I was very nervous, so I asked the surgeon if he could also grow me a pair. The nerves and blood vessels were taken from the arm and stitched together in the pubic area. Urologists worked with plastic surgeons during the process to make sure McDonald could have a functioning urethra, meaning he will now be able to pass urine normally
through it.
Yes.
Isn't this amazing?
It is amazing. And now he can pee all over the toilet seat like the rest of us. Oh, okay. They even installed, get this. Now look at this picture.
Okay.
They installed two tubes to allow McDonald to inflate his penis with a hand pump to give himself an erection. Like a damn blood pressure pump.
Can we not make an app out of that, though? Wouldn't it be better with an app?
An app? Yeah, just
yeah,
hit
like
it.
Bluetooth it in. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, that would be great.
They should have contacted me on this first.
That would be better than, well, I don't know.
Pumping
your balls.
It's going to be, you're going to be like, it's like remember the Reeboks you had to pump them up. Yeah. You got to be distracted.
Reebok shoes. Yes.
I think
right.
It should be voice controlled.
Alexa, like pump up now.
Alexa or Siri, tell Siri to pump it up. And
hey, Siri, I need a hard on. Oh, wait, no. Turn off. Not you. So it turns out that McDonald's. I need a hard on. I can search the web. No, don't search the web. Stop.
Oh. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. So Lord. It turns out that McDonald's artificial penis is even better than the old one. That's what he's saying.
I have so many questions.
You know he's going to make porn movies now.
I have so many questions.
Remember John Wayne Bobbitt?
Yeah, he made a bunch of porn movies after that.
Lorena cut it off.
She cut off. He had to put it back on.
Threw it on the side of the road.
Yeah.
They put it back on.
I thought she was in one of those movies that he made. I thought you
Hemi-powered penis.
Yeah,
it was a sequel to
sequel.
His was Uncut. That was the name of it. So now this dude, I'm sure, is going to be making some porn movies.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what else? I need to see this thing. I've never said this about another man's penis, but I got to see it.
Well, I want to. You know, I'm like, you know, how? I mean, if I'm getting a new one made.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah. Hang on. Don't get ahead of it. Because
you're not still even done.
No, no, no.
Oh.
So check this out. With the help of surgeons, he was able to design his new dream penis.
Oh, dream
penis. And he added an extra 2 inches.
Of course he did.
For a grand total of?
How long?
6 inches.
No.
So he just outed himself. His original penis was 4 inches.
If I'm wearing that on my arm for 6 years.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm going...
I'd say, just do the leg. Yeah, I got more skin down
so
there.
So it turned black and it fell off.
Yeah, because it got infected.
Fell off. Is this the first white guy ever got mad about having a black penis? I mean.
I think you're right.
It's probably the only one I've not heard of.
Yeah. I would have said use my leg for sure. Because there's way more skin down there. It's longer. Yeah, you get more bang for your buck that way. He said not many people can say that they have a designer penis. I like it. He calls it designer. Penis is going to walk the red carpet.
Yeah.
Like it's Gucci or something.
Yeah, who are you wearing? Yeah. Gucci, Versace? Oh, Vera Wang.
Vera Wang.
It's ribbed for her, your pleasure. McDonald said, my luck in life hasn't been too good so far. He said, can you imagine 6 years of your life with a penis swinging on your arm? It's been a nightmare, but it's gone now. And I'm a real boy, just like Pinocchio, but circumcised.
Was it took lies to get bigger?
Right. This poor guy.
Man, this is horrible. This makes me like, would you just, I mean, I know we're over, but time frame, but
sure.
Would you give up, what would you give up? I mean, would you give up a hand?
Oh, to keep I see. Your penis? So someone said, here's the
deal. Here's a choice. Cut your hand off, keep your penis. Would you cut the hand off?
Now,
choice. This is a choice game.
Whole hand?
Whole hand.
Now, if you said pinky.
Not fingers. Fingers are irrelevant. Gone. I mean, that's a furniture accident. I'm talking about the whole hand.
I don't know.
Would you give it up for a penis?
A whole hand?
Yes. Left
hand. That's tough. Well, okay, left hand?
If you're right-handed.
Because I need this one for him.
Yeah. You give up a whole hand?
That's a very good question.
How about an eye?
I don't.
One eye, just one eye.
An eye, yes.
Oh, definitely.
Not a
right?
hand.
Not a hand.
I think I need both.
You're
going to
think about the hand, but your eye, you're fine with.
Well, yeah.
Kidney, you're
I
good.
I know my buddy Kyle Davis only has one good eye, and he still appreciates his penis.
Yeah. One leg? What about a leg?
No.
No?
I need my legs.
You're going to keep a leg.
What would you do? What would you give up?
I'm probably going to give a leg up and a hand. I'll hop around probably.
What about you guys?
I don't know. He don't use it anyway, so.
So nothing. You're keep. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm keeping my.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm keeping my hands, dude, and right. my legs. Eyeball, maybe. An ear, possibly.
Yeah.
Kidney.
Kidney. Oh, definitely kidney.
Yeah, because you got kidney's two of those.
Gone. Two of those.
Oh, I got a question for you.
Oh.
You can only keep one.
Okay.
Penis.
Yep.
Liver.
Mm. Well, you die without a liver, right? How long does it take, though, to die without one? I'm considering it, man.
Yeah, I'm just considering
it. I need to weigh the options.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
go out early.
I feel like you're the kind of person that can't live without your penis.
Well, look at this guy. He's got it on his arm for 6 years. What are you going to do?
This is
like old McDonald had a farm, and then he had something on his arm, you know?
Right. Well, there you go. Norfolk, England.
Wow.
The town. Tell him, Justin. tell him about the end part, Justin. The end of it. There it is. All right, everybody. Thank you for watching. I had a good time. We got off to a shaky start, but we found our way thanks to Cletus T. Judd.
Yep.
Thank you for being here.
Yes, sir.
Any final thoughts?
Hey, life could be a lot worse.
That's right.
Whatever you went through today, you don't have a penis on your arm tonight.
Yeah. What is it called when you get, when you lose, like, gangrene?
Yeah, that's bad. It's almost like
you got gangrene.
Yeah, stuff falls off.
Oh, my God. He's like a leper.
Yeah.
He grew back, though, like a lizard. He grows a tail. Anyway, that's
good
for him.
He's like Deadpool.
Huh?
Like Deadpool.
Deadpool, yeah, yeah. He's like the character Deadpool. Any final thoughts, guys, before we wrap this one up?
Yes, we wanted to give a shout-out to some of the guys that did the photography at the cannabis convention. Bob Asbury did one of them. And Jason Roberts at J&T Pixels. I owe him a lifelong debt of gratitude. He does great work. Mm-hmm. And Zach Hamilton wanted us to give a shout-out to his grandmother, Debbie.
Okay. Isaiah?
I want to give a shout-out to 49 Winchester. Their album, Fortune Favors the Bold, comes out in 10 days.
Wow. I want to talk to them. I know we've been going back and forth. I love those guys. They're very good. I feel like they're so close to breaking. Because just like Justin Clyde, they have a unique original sound, and they're very talented. So, yeah. Good luck to those guys. I'm happy for them. The Alan Jackson, anything else you would like to add at the end of the show? All good. All right. Well, let's wrap this puppy up. You come back next week, okay? And I hope you had fun. Just trying to bring a smile to your face. Take your mind off the crappy world. Hope you got your sexual organs on you. You know what I mean? Hope they're working. I hope you shared this. I hope you will write a nice review. And become a Patreon supporter so we can talk to you one-on-one after dark on Country-ish. For the Alan Jackson, for Elliot the intern, for intern Isaiah, for Sebastian, I am John Reap, and I wish you a bicycle.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back, but I wouldn't know that I'm from a cul-de-sac. Don't chew tobacco and I don't smoke crack. Thank God I'm country-ish. Well, a simple kind of life, every dip and no harm, but I do know a guy with only one arm. Keep your fancy smartphones and your self-park cars. Thank God I'm country-ish. Well, I got a podcast, it'll make you giggle. It ain't number one, it's right in the middle. The town's not big, but it ain't too little. It's time for country-ish. Woo!
Hey, everybody, it's me again. I just want to say thank you for listening or watching this podcast. You know, we couldn't do this without supporters like you. Oh, wait, are you not a supporter? Well, you could be. It's real simple. Go to countryishpodcast.com. Click on the word support. That will take you to our Patreon page. That's our support page. And from there, you can support us many different ways. There's different levels. You got $5 and up. You got Pewter Pro, Rhinestone level, Executive Zirconia, all the way up to Platinum Elite. And all of them come with different rewards. We're talking hats, t-shirts, ginger beard masks, even be a guest on the show. You got to check out our Patreon page. Go to countryishpodcast.com, click on support, and thank you. Oh. Oh, hi. You still here? Well, I got nothing for you. I just want you to hit the share button. I want you to recruit new people, right? I love our Patreon supporters. I love everyone who calls in and watches every week, but we need new people, you know? We need to grow so that we can continue to do this, and I don't have to leave as much. I'm going to be in Toledo this weekend, but I'd rather be right here and do more of these. Could you imagine? If we had, I don't know, 10,000 more people watching, I would never have to do the road except for every now and then. I could look after mom, you know. I could stay here and hang out with you guys more, do more episodes, talk to more people. There's no way we're still alive.